And the day is getting late, and they're hungry probably as well, and they say, look, Jesus, enough is enough. We've been here all day. There's no food. Send the crowds away so they can go and get something to eat. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. Matthew doesn't tell us what the disciples thought at this moment. He doesn't tell us what they were feeling. The whole day working hard, and then Jesus says, oh, they don't need to go. You feed them. You feed them. It's been a long, hard day. You've been busy on your feet all day. You finally sit down, put your feet up, you think at last, a bit of peace and quiet, a bit of rest. And then your phone buzzes. And it's that friend of yours who's going through a really difficult time and just needs someone to talk to for an hour. Or maybe, you know, you feel like you haven't slept in 3 weeks. And you feel the darkness coming on you, you feel yourself going into that nice place of sleep, and you're thinking, at last, and then the baby starts crying again. And you're awake. Or maybe, you know, you've got something happening, something you've been looking forward to, it's been in the diary for months, you know, you're really excited about it, and then you get a text from your sister, and she says, my father-in-law's had to go into hospital suddenly, I really need someone to look after the kids this evening. Matthew doesn't tell us how the disciples are feeling. He doesn't need to tell us. We know. We know how they're feeling in that moment. This morning, the sermon is entitled Ready to Serve. We're doing this series about being ready as we start this kind of new academic year. Are we ready as a church to do various things? And today we're thinking about, are we ready to serve? And this is one of the things that is asked of us. If you're part of a church, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you are asked to serve. Being a follower of Jesus means you have to live outwardly. You can't just retreat and withdraw and take all the good stuff for yourself and sit on it. You have to live in such a way that makes your life benefit others. That's the call that Jesus places on our life. But sometimes it's difficult because the needs are never ending and we're just tired and we've got a lot on and it's difficult. I've spoken before about how these two particular verses really challenged me. The idea that Jesus, what's happened is his John the Baptist, his cousin, has just been executed by Herod. And so Jesus wants to withdraw to sort of process this, to grieve. This is, you know, understandable. This is normal. But the crowds don't care. And they hear where Jesus is, and they follow him. And Jesus sees them, and far from being, you know, annoyed and frustrated, he has compassion on them. And I've spoken before about how I found these verses personally really challenging as someone who really, really likes withdrawing. Someone who really likes sort of processing things by myself in private. This call to have compassion on others, even when it's not convenient for you. When we were in Australia and we were living as part of a community, I noticed there was one person who, whenever you asked him to do anything, he would say yes. He just like, that was his default answer. And I wasn't sure about this. Because I thought, I'm not sure he's got a family, you know, I'm not sure this is healthy, I'm not sure this is right. So I actually asked him about it one time. I said, why do you always say yes? And he said to me, he said, when you're part of a community, when you're a part of a group, if there's a need and you say no, someone else has to say yes. And I found that quite difficult to hear at the time, you know, because it's true, but it was really challenging to me to sort of have it put that bluntly, that every time I say no, I'm expecting someone else to say yes. But at the same time, I knew you just cannot say yes to everything. You can't. We are limited people with limited resources. We don't have sort of unlimited energy and unlimited time in the day. And in fact, if you go for too long, sort of stretching yourself beyond your resources, bad things happen. And that's part of the reason why Ruth and I were in Australia in the first place, because, you know, I'd gone through that process of always having to give beyond myself, and it does bad things to you. And if you say yes to one thing, sort of by definition, you're kind of saying no to other things. Like if you say yes to having a family, for example, you're saying no to a whole bunch of other things. Some things you might actually want to do, but it's sort of like you've got to share your resources and your energy amongst a whole new group of people. So it's just a really, I've always found it a difficult balance. This call on my life to serve, to give, to live for others. And yet the realization that I'm just one man with rather sort of low threshold capacity for sort of stress and things like that. So what do you do? So this morning, the message is, are you ready to serve? I'm not saying to you this morning, the sermon is not entitled, "You Should Be Doing More." Okay, let's make that clear. That is not what the sermon is entitled. I am not going to tell you that you should be doing more. Now, if you're sitting there and you hear God whispering in your ear saying you should be doing more, I don't have a problem with that. But I am not going to say. I am not going to say that. Because it is between you and God. How much you give, how much you can give, whether you should be giving. Because the important thing is our service is an act of obedience. We are responding to what God asked us to do, not what James asked you to do or anything like that. And that's the question. It's between you and God whether you are responding to what He is asking you to do. This morning we are thinking, though, as a church and as individuals, are we ready to serve? When Jesus turns to us and says, "You feed them," are we ready to say yes? Are we ready to serve? And we're going to go through this story. I'm going to pull out a few things that I think may be helpful in terms of understanding this attitude of how can we be ready to serve. Because when Jesus says to the disciples, "Are you ready to serve?" their response is, "No. No. We don't have enough to give. We don't have enough resources, Jesus. What you're asking is impossible." And it does seem impossible what Jesus is asking them to do. If this conversation was happening online, I think we'd say Jesus was trolling the disciples here. He's kind of asking them to do something impossible. "You feed them. 5,000, not including women and children, 5,000 men. You feed them." That's crazy, Jesus. You're just antagonizing us now. You're just being ridiculous. But Jesus, that's not his style. That's not the way he does things. And I wonder what would have happened. I wonder what would have happened if the disciples had, you know, Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples had looked at one another and said, "Okay, this is what we've got. Let's see what happens when we start giving this food. You know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, it's not going to go far. First come, first serve. But let's do it. Jesus has asked us to do it." I don't know what would have happened. But I suspect that it would have been the disciples amazed at this food that just kept coming as they handed it out. Because I think Jesus knew that crowd was getting fed this evening. I think he knew that was happening. And it was really a question of who was going to do it. Who was going to do it? Because I think what Jesus was saying to the disciples, when he said, "You feed them," what he was really saying is, do you want to be something amazing right now? Do you want to do something amazing right now? Because I think that's really what God says. When God calls us to serve, when God asks us to serve, what he's really saying to us is, do you want to be something amazing to a group of hungry people right now? I think that's what he's saying. I think that's what he's calling us to do. And the disciples say no. It's sort of beyond what they can envision. But, you know, they're part of a community, part of God's community, so someone has to say yes. So it's Jesus. Jesus says yes. And then what happens next, I think is beautiful. I think there's really no other word to describe it. It's one of my favourite images for sort of this idea of service in the Bible. It's like Jesus takes the bread and the fish, and he prays, and he breaks it. And it just keeps coming. But did you notice Jesus doesn't give it to the people who are hungry? He doesn't give it to the crowds. It says he gives it to the disciples. And they pass it on. They're the ones who feed the crowd. It's almost like Jesus is saying, here you go. You thought you didn't have enough. You thought you couldn't do this. You thought you weren't able to serve in this moment. Here you are. Here you go. And service can sometimes seem like this huge, massive responsibility, this huge, impossible task. How are we going to feed all these people? But you know what service is? You know what this passage tells me that service is? It's really pretty simple. All service is simply giving to others what Jesus has already passed on to you. That's what service is. And service can seem like, when you say, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do this massive thing. Are you ready to do that? No, I'm not ready. Okay, how about this? Are you ready to just pass on to others what Jesus has given to you? Okay, that sounds a bit more manageable, doesn't it? That sounds a bit more possible, because that's all service is. Giving to others what God has given to you. Now, we all have gifts, we all have resources, we all have our loaves and fishes. The reality is some of us have got more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Some of us have got quite a few loaves and fishes, and they're nice. They've come from Marks and Spencer's or something like that. But others of us, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, bread's a bit stale, fish beginning to smell a bit, you know, and we think, well, they've got loads to give, I haven't got much to give, but I don't really think God sees it that way. I don't think that's how God views service. It's all the same to God, whether it's a gift, whether it's just you're giving energy, whether you're giving time, whether you're using your possessions for him, whatever you're passing on to others, to God, it's just service. That's all there is. It's just the act of giving to others what he has given to you. There's no big service in God's eyes. There's no small service in God's eyes. There's just God saying, there is a need here, and I want you to meet it. I have a friend, great bloke, really, really likeable guy. I feel very privileged to have been a part of his life. He's an alcoholic. He's doing well at the moment. He's been sober for 7 years, over 7 years. He's married, you know, every day remembering who God is and who he is and all those kind of things like that. He's doing well. But if you've ever been friends with an addict or you know anything about addiction, it's not always easy. It's not always a privilege to be a part of their lives. It doesn't always feel that way. And I remember many, many years ago now, he was living in our community, and a few of us in the community had to challenge him about something that was going on in his life. And he didn't take it very well. I think we probably could have approached it in a better way. But his response, you know, he'd been sober for about just over a year. His response was, well, I've had enough. And he walked into town and he got drunk. Okay, and then so that's how things happened. And 24 hours later, I get a phone call from the hospital. And what happened was he'd gone into town, he'd got drunk, and the police had been called out. And they, for whatever reason, they thought, we're not putting him in a cell or whatever till he's sober. They took him to the local hospital and sort of left him in the psychiatric ward of the local hospital. And I get a phone call 24 hours later from the hospital saying, he wants to come home. He wants to come home. So I have a word with him. I want to come home. Can you come and collect me? And I'm there listening to this thinking, is there any way I can say no and still call myself a Christian? Because that would be the ideal outcome for me, because I don't want to do this. You know, there's all kinds of things going on in me. It seems, when I think back on it now, I think it's not really that big a deal. But at the time, I just remember thinking, this is too much. This is overwhelming for me. But I said yes, because I had to. And I put the phone down, and it so happened that There was another guy in the house at the time called David, who just popped round to talk to me for 5 minutes about work. And he happened to be there when the phone call was made. And I put the phone down and said, oh, I've got to go collect this guy. And he could tell, he could see that this was hard for me. And he said, do you want me to come with you? And I said, oh, yeah. Yes, Dave, I want you to come with me. Now, it was just a small thing. Like, it was an hour out of his day, sitting in the car. I didn't have to do anything. I did all the talking. He just sat with me in the car, and me and this guy on the way back. But I cannot tell you how much I needed that in that moment, how much I needed him to come with me. All he was doing, it's a small thing, all he was doing, giving a little bit of his time, a little bit of his willingness to serve, to help me. But I'll never be able to express how thankful I am, how much it helped me. I've done a lot of speaking over the years, some writing, some sort of sitting down and talking with people, and I always think, if I've ever made one person feel the way Dave made me feel that time, then it's worth it. It's fine. Doesn't matter what happens with the rest. Because that's how much it meant for me. But that whole thing, do you want me to come with you? Just a little bit of time. Just a little bit of effort. Just a little bit of love. And you may think, it's not much. You may think, what I give, what I can do, it's not much. You have no idea. You have no idea what it might mean to someone, how much it might help someone, how it might be just what they need in that moment. And at the end of the day, right, the disciples, they've had a long day. The dust has settled, the crowds are finally gone. The disciples look at one another, and there are 12 disciples, and there are 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. Somehow, in the crazy economy of the kingdom of God, they've spent all day giving and giving and giving and giving, and somehow they end up making a profit. But that's how service works. That's the reality of service. Service can be hard, can be costly. It wouldn't be service if it was easy. Paul, at one point, tells the Philippians, the church in Philippi, he writes them and says, my service to you, my service to God, it's like I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And you don't need to know sort of the Old Testament history of what a drink offering is or anything to get the idea that this is a costly thing he's talking about. He's saying almost, my life is being poured out. And when it's gone, it doesn't come back. It's like I'm permanently pouring out my energy for you. But then Paul says the strangest thing. He says, but in this I am glad and I rejoice. Why? How does he do this? I think because Paul knows. He knows what the disciples are just finding out here, which is this. It is always worth it. It is always worth it. God always pays his debts with interest. There is nothing you can do, nothing you can give in service to God that will leave you poorer than when you started out. That's the reality of service. Ruth and I have invested a lot of time in people over the years, as I'm sure many of you have, Ruth in particular. And there have been many times where they break your heart. And you look at them and you say, it's just not worth it. Nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. And in those moments, I remember Paul, and I remember what he wrote to the church in Galatia 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And now sometimes, you know, reaping that harvest takes a lifetime or longer. But the promise is there. You will reap the harvest. You will reap the harvest. No matter how long you have to wait, over the course of eternity, you will be repaid for your service. Well, I can talk back and forth about service, the challenges of service, the benefits, you know, are you ready to serve? But I think ultimately I was thinking it comes down to a simple question. And this is really the question I think that Jesus is asking the disciples when he says to them, you feed them. This is the question. This is all services. Do you want to be used by God? That's the question. Do you want to be used by God? A while ago, many months now, if not over a year, I can't remember, I preached a sermon in which I said, if you want to experience God, if you want to meet with God, if you want to encounter God, you have to put yourself in places where God can get at you. And it's the same here. If you want to be used by God, you have to put yourself in places where God can use you. And that means serving. That means living outwardly. That means deciding to make your life a benefit to others. That means deciding that you're going to take the loaves and fishes you've been given, that Jesus has handed to you, and pass them out to others. Whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be something, you know, amazing. Because that's not the point. That's not what it's about. You just have to be there when Jesus gives you something and says, go on, pass this around. That's all you have to do. Now, to be fair, you don't have to do that. It is up to you. Jesus will pass you stuff and you can say, oh, thanks very much, Jesus. And you can sort of sit there with your five loaves and your two fishes and think, well, this is mine now. Jesus has given it to me. You can do that. But I promise you this, I guarantee you this, you will not see God work through you. You will not be used by God. You will not see God take those sort of limited resources of yours and multiply them and multiply them and multiply them and spread them around until more people than you could ever imagine have been fed in some way because of some little act of service you did. And you will never have that feeling where you sit down and realize that somehow in the middle of this, you've somehow managed to end up with more than you had before. So, are you ready this year to respond when Jesus says, you give them something to eat? Are you ready to serve?